It is Tuesday once again, and that can only mean one thing. That's right, it's time. Time once again for the Parish of the Patriots. 223rd time we've gotten together here, gathered up the congregation. And you know what? It just never gets old. I like to think it gets better and better. You know, opinions may vary on that. Having a tough time. I'm soldiering through today's show. You may be wondering what's going on. Why are you having a hard time? Because I'm trying to get this show done while I've got, you know, a song, while I've got Idol by Yasobi stuck in my head. I may put a link in the description, and I guarantee you it's a brain sticker. No, not the English version either. I didn't even listen to that. It's a brain sticker. You got a song that's just stuck in your head and keeps playing over and over. It's hard. It's hard to concentrate, but you know what? I'm soldiering through for y'all. It is great to be together. If you're new, if you're stopping by, we do have a lot of fun here on the show. We do have a Christian-specific segment. That's roughly about the halfway point of the show. I encourage you to stick around for that. I don't think you'll be disappointed. And on that note, you know, believe it or not, it's hard to believe, but this is as good as it gets. I don't have any content behind a paywall. There's no, I don't want Patreon or, you know, pay for this extra better. You know, unfortunately or fortunately, just depending on your point of view, this is as good as it gets. This is the best I have to offer. And so if you do get something out, don't be shy. Pay your tithes. Please throw a little something in the plate. It's appreciated. If you want to do that, it's easy. Go to the bottom of the description page here on Radio Album for the show. You'll see I got snail mail down there. Bitcoin, Monero, got an email address down there. You can drop your notes. If you've got a different cryptocurrency, commonly known as shit coins, more than likely I will take those too, because I can probably give you an address for that, and I have no pride. So there is that. And of course, every show we're posting up here, or I'm posting up here on Radio Albion, Dr. Johnson shows, all of my own shows, and we're continuing to put our links down there for Sven Longshanks, where you can write him a letter. I've yet to hear back from him. I'm kind of worried, but I know it has to go through the prison system and international mail and all that. I get that, you know. But yeah, where you can write Sven a letter, those links are down at the bottom of the page. Encourage you to do so. Now, I've said this a couple of times, and I had somebody recently email me and ask me about that. We do still have the, like, Radio Albion support, like, cryptocurrency addresses on the side of the page. And I mean, if you've sent to that, it's fine. But I mean, until Sven gets out, basically it's just going to sit there. So if you want to support Sven, obviously he can't access that from where he is. So, and I can't access it. So just if you want to support Sven, use one of the links. There's several different ways, obviously, in which you can do that. And I highly encourage you to do so. I think writing a letter is extremely important. Very important. Speaking of letters, we got to get into the listener supporter mail bag here. Let's see here. Let's get to it. Greetings, Grandpa Dan. Hope this finds you well. Sorry for the sporadic, read non-existent support. Life just gets more complicated. The culturally enriching diversity in my neighborhood is becoming a bit too much to deal with, and it's time to GTFO. There does come that time. All the best. Stay safe, stay sane, and until next time, this is from Jackie, and it's good to see Jackie. I always wish, you know, I bemoan the fact to myself sometimes, not to y'all, you know, and I think it'd be nice, you know, like if everybody that listens put something in the plate and I hear from everybody. It doesn't happen. And honestly, it'd be probably kind of difficult, because I'd have like this stack of mail, whole show would be reading stack of mail. There's something advantageous to the fact that there's actually a very small number of people that, you know, I get notes from and they drop something in the plate. And one of the advantages to that is, like, you know, it's like I know who y'all are. I look and it's like, oh, I know this person. And as a result of that, like when I don't hear from somebody for a while, like I hadn't heard from Jackie in a while. And just the other day I was thinking, you know, I hope Jackie's all right. I hadn't heard from, you know, not like, you know, I ain't got no money from these people. It ain't that at all. I'm actually like, I hope everything's all right. Yeah. You know, and it's like that for all y'all. You know, I see the envelopes and it's like, oh, that's so-and-so. Well, that's so-and-so. You know, and then like when I don't hear from y'all for a while, I think, I hope they're okay. But it's good to see the typewriter back out. Obviously, I've cut a lot out because I will cut stuff out of y'all's notes that, you know, I think is kind of personal. And, you know, I don't, like, I'm I want to respect y'all's privacy, and I'll take that sometimes to the extreme. So, yeah, and when it gets closer to what you're talking about in your note there, hey, keep in touch. You know, keep in touch one way or the other. I'd love to hear from y'all. Let's keep on rocking. Dan, you're spending more time on RA affairs now, and that's less time for your own needs. So I wanted to help out a bit. That's from Eric. I really do appreciate it. It means a lot. It means a lot. I these sort of things, these sort of trials, like what has happened to Sven, they do these things to scatter everybody, you know? They're supposed to make you afraid and everybody's supposed to run away. And you got the choice. And people can do that, or you can react like I think the community here at Radio Albion, by and large, has reacted, which is instead to come closer together. I mean, and I think that's great. I do. I look at like the Go Send Go fundraiser, for instance, for Sven, and it's just, I'm blown away that people have been so generous and whatnot. And again, they do these things to scatter everybody. I was told that the media was all upset because they thought when they put Sven in jail that the Radio Albion would just go away. It would scatter everybody. And we're all just, I think it's great for us all to come together. GPD, sad to see Sven in jail for just trying to educate our European history. Sven is a great teacher. That's from Triangle Whip. Says, P.S., Sven came to his own, but they receive him not. And it really is. It's just proof that they won't tolerate the truth. I mean, and we have to be 100%. That's why Sven's in jail now, for speaking the truth. Not for speaking things outrageous. And that's kind of what's aggravating, is because, you know, Sven is such a first class act. And when you listen to the programs, they're still here on Radio Albion. I mean, you can't listen to that and say, oh man, this guy's trying to offend everybody. And yet they came up with this anyway. Y'all know. Let's keep on keeping on. Tony, no note, but I did want to let you know I did receive it. And it is very much appreciated. Mr. T, GPD, dope for the show. Always good to hear from Mr. T. Sometimes the post office is slow and I don't hear from Mr. T. It goes back to what I was saying earlier. And I'm like, hope nothing's happened. I'm like a doting parent, even though some of y'all are my age or older. And but it's like a doting parent. It's like, man, I hope they're all right. I hope nothing happened to them. You know, I hope everybody's cool. The RA community, the Parish of the Patriots congregation. And finally, Grandpa, I've been writing to Sven a couple times a week, but I figure it could take a month for each letter to get to him. Post office says 20 days, but it still has to work its way through the prison system once it gets there. And I hope the letters make it to him. Just shooting the bull, not talking about anything overly political, and hope to hear back from him eventually, but it'll probably be in August. Until then, I'll just keep sending letters, hoping they'll get to him. His Give, Send, Go just passed 6,000 pounds. So many awesome, brave people out there who have had enough. It makes me happy to see. There might be a lot of people sending cash to the PA, PO box that Patriotic Alternative has set up to Sven too. But to do that from America, of course, they're going to have to convert that from dollars to British pounds. Not sure how that's working, and I don't either. I'm sure they'll figure it out. It's really easier to use the other. Keep on trucking. And of course, that's from Andy. I appreciate it, Andy. And yeah, I've been writing Sven, and I have not heard anything back either. And I think you bring a good point. And you just want to make this point when you write Sven, you know, just write about whatever, but don't get into a bunch of, you know, political stuff, because obviously his mail is screened from the prison, and you know they're going to read that. That's just the way it works. And if you know, use some common sense, the idea is for the letter to get to him. The idea is so that he doesn't feel alone. It's not the time to monologue about something that would just give them an excuse to throw that in the paper shredder. So just some common sense. My letters, I've been writing Sven every week. And no, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I've been writing them every week. And it's mostly just me rambling about, you know, mundane things that I've got going on in my personal life. Luckily, Sven has known me for years. We've talked with each other for years. And he's used to listening to me ramble about mundane things that no one cares about in my personal life. So, yeah, no, it's... It's all good. And yeah, that's going to wrap up our listener supporter mailbag. And again, I just really, you know, I've heard from many of y'all, have dropped me emails and stuff. And I think it's just really great that the community here has really tried to come together. And it's just, you know, I've had a people offer to try to help me out with, you know, posting content on the site and everything. And I really do appreciate it. I think I'm kind of getting it down. I mean, it's not going to be at Sven Longshank's quality. You know, y'all just got to bear with that until he gets back. I mean, it is what it is. He had so much stuff figured out and it was like a full-time job for him. And, you know, it's not for me, but we're keeping it together. And I do, I appreciate it. I think it's really great. Like I say, they do these things to scatter everybody, think everybody run off. And instead we just come together. And I think that's a really good thing. So as we roll on with another week here, another week, Parish of the Patriots, what all these people coming back, the political system here in the U.S. is such a joke. The corruption, the more you see it, I don't know if it's just more obvious or if it's just that now that I'm aware of it, I just see things that I didn't see before. I think it's a little of both. To be honest, and one thing going on, you got like, I don't know, 500 people coming out now for the Team R presidential ticket, not named Donald Trump. Yeah. And setting aside, of course, the farce of these elections now that as they exist here in the U.S., it's so funny to see these people come out and run for president. Now, a whole bunch of them are just no names. You know, they're just no names hoping to be somebody. But it's just all, look, it's all payoffs. Mike Pence has come out and he's announced he's running for, ain't nobody want no Mike Pence. Mike Pence, nobody even likes Mike Pence. You know, nobody even likes this guy. Nobody asked for this guy. Liz Cheney might as well come out and run for president. Well, we're close to that. We got that Nikki Haley, I don't remember how to pronounce her Indian name. We got her running. Nobody likes that bitch, but she running. You see, this is where the payoffs happen. Chris Christie running for president. Oh, yeah, that's what America's clamoring for. It's like everything else. It's just a money laundering operation, you know? Now, see, they're going to get the payoffs. See, everybody, like all the, when I see these Trump people, you know, and by Trump people, I mean people that Donald Trump foolishly put into, you know, any sort of position in his administration. When I see all those people, you know, that we're constantly backstabbing and undermining him and everything else. Well, and now they come out and announce for president. See, this is where they get their money. It'll be all legal like. The corruption in the U.S. wears me out. If you're in like some Latin American country, they just tell you, well, to do that, you got to pay me. How much are you going to pay? $200. Here's your $200. So here they do this whole legalese song and dance, you know, oh, I'm going to run for presidency. And then y'all going to put, you know, $28 million in campaign donations to me. And, you know, of course, I'm not going to ever actually be president. And when that's all over, that money will go, I don't know, wherever. And don't worry, it's not going to get investigated because that's part of the deal. I mean, even if that money gets shuttled around somewhere it's illegal for it to go to, it's okay because these guys are toeing the line. They're ticket takers. So they know they're never going to be investigated. If they took those campaign funds and just put them in their personal account and blew it, they know they're not going to be investigated for it. Who's going to investigate them? The people paying them off? It's not the way it goes. Not the way it goes. Looking at the lineup of potential Team R nominees. And none of these people not named Donald Trump are going to be the nominee. Nobody wants Mike Pence. Like, there was a clamoring for Mike Pence. Nobody wants Nikki Haley. I mean, what? Nope. It's just where the payoff happens. And we all know it. It's just a farce. Speaking of farces, the media narratives, as y'all know, I'll watch my 90 seconds to see what the lie is on network news in the morning. And it's so funny to watch these narratives pop up. They see if they float, and then they just drop them and move to the next thing. If they're too stupid, then they move to the next thing. You know, like the Mexican white supremacist, you know, shooter at the mall that we had, what, a month or so ago? You know, And it's like, we had that whole thing, and I watched the local news. Of course, it was wall-to-wall coverage on local news because it's a local happening. You know, and by local, I mean the DFW general area. And, you know, the local news was saying this guy's something other. I don't remember. His last name was like Garcia. It's obvious, you know. And then, like, immediately after the morning local news, the network news comes on. And for 2 days, they refused to say the guy's name, but they would wrap up the story with, if anonymous sources at the FBI tell CBS News that they're investigating that this guy has white supremacist ties. Well, if you're a moron and don't know any better, you would just assume, oh, it's one of these crazy white supremacists. But it'd just be so funny coming off the local news and they're talking about this guy named Garcia or something, you know. And then after 2 days, they just dropped the story. Like, it didn't float, so they move on to the next thing. Same thing with the U-Haul truck thing, which was one of the dumbest things I've seen in a while. And that's saying something in clown world. You know, you got the Indian guy, dot, not feather. You got the Indian guy slow motion bumping the barriers in the U-Haul truck. And the camera set up to catch a perfect picture of this brand new, still got the folds in it, Nazi flag. Laid out, you know, and once again, that one lasted about a day or so, and then they just dumped the story and move on to the next thing. They just figure it's kind of like it's just the same idea as the media in this country uses these stories, these lying stories. They do them just like the same, what do I want to say? They use the same strategy as Nigerian scam artists. I would say the U.S. media, the Western media, are lower than Nigerian scam artists. I'm willing to say Nigerian scam artists have a higher ethical standard than the media in the West. And I say, Nigerian scam artists, you get these scam emails and you check your spam folders, you know, and hello, darling. Hello, my dear. You know, Nigerian scam artists, they call your phone. And if you happen to answer, because you think maybe, because they spoof in these numbers, and you think maybe it's a call from your doctor or something, and so you answer, and it's some Nigerian scam artist with their scammy line. And you see these things, and you think, who the hell falls for these Nigerian scams? You know, because it's so obvious. But you see, their strategy is, if they can hit up 500 people a day, even if only 1% go for the scam over a month's time, that adds up. And that's the media's strategy. They throw this obvious, stupid, retarded BS out there against the wall, and they know that a lot of people aren't going to buy it. Maybe even most people aren't going to buy it. But, you know, hey, if 1% sit there and slurp it up, then they go on to the next thing. See, they're like the same strategy. So we had this thing last week with the Ukrainians strategically blew up a dam, and they're flooding these Russian areas. They blew up the Russian dam and the Russian areas and flooded the Russian people. And for like one day, the U.S. media and the government had the nerve to come out and basically say Russia did it to themselves, just like they're shelling their own nuclear plant. And once again, that was so stupid, they just kind of, after a day or so, they let that trail off, and we're going to talk about Taylor Swift swallowed a damn bug on the stage. Oh. I watched that 90-second blurb thing in the morning just to see what people are consuming for information. And it's just a typical deal. It'll be like a typical morning this last week. The Russians, they're so crazy, they're so evil, and they're losing so bad, they blew up their own dam to flood their own people out of desperation. Followed with, Taylor Swift swallowed a bug on stage. OMG, did you see that? And then usually the final thing before they actually go into the main segment and start lying to you is some sort of exciting moment in American sports ball, whatever form of sports ball that is. And there you go. There's your slop for the masses. I don't know. I don't know how people manage it. It's just and of course, what's funny is if you're on like the internet, especially, hopefully you don't have to deal with too many of these people IRL, but on the internet, and you do run into, you see the people commenting that do actually, you know, slop this stuff up. Of course, now You know, you have to understand, so much of the internet is flooded with bots and paid State Department shills that you really don't know. You know, years ago, you could read internet comments and you could get a pretty good feel for where people were at. And you can't do that anymore. And you do. You have to just understand that you can't do that anymore because there's so many bots. There's so many paid shills that go on here and just shill this stuff. So you can't really get a metric. You read a story. I've gotten the point where if a news outlet actually allows comments, I can pretty accurately predict if they've bothered flooding their comments with shill comments or not. And you can tell because sometimes they miss. They don't get the word out. They don't get things lined up in time. You can tell there was scheduling conflict with the shill accounts or they didn't pay the bot farm or whatever the case may be. Because I'll read a story and I'm like, oh, there's no way this story is not going to be flooded. And sure enough, you read it and it's, you know, Putin's so evil and he's losing so bad he blew up his own dam. Is there no end to the madness? NATO totally needs to go in there and march to Moscow, so on and so forth. And then other times, they apparently get a scheduling conflict or they don't think the story is important enough, and you hit the comments, and it's like it's obviously normal people. And you can see that contradiction. You see, oh, well, these are normal people with varied opinions. It's not like people walk in lockstep. That's one of the ways you can really spot the shill stuff, whether they're bots or people sitting there on the clock with the government posting on here. You can really tell the difference because people have a range of opinions. There'll be people, you know, say, pretty hard over here on the right. And then you'll have people, you know, you'll have a few people that slop, you know, they lap up the slop that the MSN, the mainstream media feeds them. And then there's people on varying scales in the middle and people with their own various opinions and people that for some reason or another think that everybody wants to read about their personal experience in their lives. So they're going to have to tell you some story that happened to them however many years ago. But it's on this scale. You can tell when it's bots slash shills because all of the comments and they're walking in lockstep. Like there's no break. They may word the comments different because if they didn't, obviously it would be too obvious, but they're in lockstep. There's no varying degree. Like, oh, 100% of these comments agree that Orange Man is definitely bad. You know, that Putin is definitely Hitler. That the Ukraine is definitely winning and the Russians are running scared. That everybody really does want drag queen story hour for kids. You know, I mean, just, you can tell because there's this lockstep. There's no scale here. And that's just not normal. If I gather all of you up here in the audience, because people say, well, you know, people imagine it's probably a pretty monolithic audience that listens to the Parish of the Patriots. And you'd be very wrong. I happen to know I've got a very wide range of audience. It would probably surprise you. But if you gathered up the audience into a room and asked each person, you know, tell me your opinion on this, you know, one by one separately, there's going to be this wide range of opinions. There's going to be people that think way over here. There's going to be people who think way over here. And there's going to be this scale because that's human nature. People have their own opinions because everybody has their own life experience. And your life experience is going to affect the way you view things. I mean, it is. That's just, again, that's human nature. And everybody has a different experience. Everybody's experienced life in a different manner. So you're naturally going to get a variation of opinion. Now, the consensus may more or less land, you know, on the same thing. But there's going to be a varied consensus. When you read a news article and you hit the comments and they're lockstep one thing, whatever the topic may be, Donald Trump is so bad and he's so stupid. Those are shill accounts because human nature is there's going to be varied opinions here. There's not going to be this lockstep. We're making this. We may not be saying it word for word, but we're going to lockstep say the same thing over and over and over. We're supposed to believe that you read these 100 comments and these 100 people all agree on the exact same thing. That is manipulation. That is trying to build a perception of consensus so that you will read that and go, well, apparently everybody says the Orange Man is really stupid and really bad. So that must be what I think too. That's how you know that shit's fake. You know, that is how you can spot it. Don't read that and be discouraged and be like, Man, people are so stupid. Look, when the comments, when you read the comments on an article and they're in lockstep, those are shills, whether they're bot farms, whether they're sitting there, people punching a government clock, collecting taxpayer money for their wages, whatever the case may be, for the simple fact that that's not the way people are. Now, like I say, there might come to a more or less consensus, but you're going to get varied opinions because people, again, have different life experiences and everybody approaches a subject, a topic, whatever, with the baggage, with their own personal experience. They're going to view it through the lens of their own personal life experience. And there's no way 100 people are somehow viewing things through the exact same experience and coming to the exact same conclusion. That's bull. That's BS. Like I say, if you took everybody listening to the show right now and said, give me your opinion on this, you're going to get a wide range of opinion. I can assure you. I hear from many of you emailing back and forth, and I can tell you this audience has a different opinion because you all come from a different life experience. And again, I just know my audience. I've conversed with people, and I have a very diverse audience. I mean, the media would like you to think that the audience is just this monolithic, crazy thing. And I have a diverse audience. And again, everybody brings their own views because everybody has a different life experience. And this is good to remember when you deal with people in general. I mean, you know, it's good to know when you read these articles and you see the comments flooded with bots or whatever. But understand that in your personal life, you know, this is a life hack for you. You know, people are coming at things and they're viewing things, you know, people you work with, people you know, your family members. And when you don't understand the way they view things, they're coming at it with their own life experiences. And even if you know them, like know them close, like say it's a family member and you like, you know, I know them. I've known them my whole life. They're my, I don't know, aunt, uncle, cousin, brother, sister, mom, dad, whatever. You don't know all of their life experience. You may think you do, but you don't know. You don't know everything that that person has gone through. I don't care how close you are. They come at things with their own. That's why they view things differently. That's why they do things differently. And you may disagree with them, and that's fine. But understand, you haven't experienced what they've experienced. If you realize this, this is going to help you deal with people, especially personal relationships. I've always said, as always, one of the things I've come to realize there, that's a better way to phrase it. One of the things I've come to realize, and I do tell people, one of the hallmarks of officially becoming an adult, because it seems like people become adult at different places, you know, there's like mile markers that you are now an adult. Because there's people that might be 60 years old and they're still childish in the way they think. You're going to know what I'm talking about here in a minute. There are people that no matter their age, they still are very childish in the way they think. And on the flip side of that, you might know somebody that's pretty young in years and they're actually fairly mature. One of the hallmarks of becoming an adult in your thinking is the understanding that your parents, your mom and daddy, were just people. They're just people, or they were just people that were trying to figure it out. You know, there's not a manual. You might not have had the perfect childhood, and they might have been awful people, but they were just people. You know, when you're a little kid, your mom and daddy, you know, they make all the decisions and you basically rely on them for everything. You know, you're 5 years old. If you're going to eat, it's going to come from them. You know, if you're going to have shelter, it's going to come from them. If you're going to get what you want for Christmas, it's going to come from them. And you rely on them. And as that, because you're a child, you know, they're like elevated. You know, they're like almost like gods for you in a sense for the fact that, you know, they're so far above you. And it seems like, you know, they can do anything. You know, a little kid to say, my daddy can do anything. And that's nice. And it's supposed to be that way. You know, for children, it's supposed to be that way. But if you say 35 years old and you're still walking around with a grudge because your mom and daddy, they screwed things up so bad in my childhood. Yes, because they were people and they're screwed up people just like everybody else. You've got to accept that they're just people trying to figure it out, and they screwed up just like you. Yeah, your mom and daddy may have screwed things up in your childhood, and I'm sorry for you. And guess what? You're screwing things up now at some point. You know, you try to learn. You should try to learn from that and do better than they did. You know, don't reject everything. Hopefully everything they did wasn't bad. Hopefully you can look and say, well, they were right about this or that, and incorporate the things you agree with and try to improve on the things that you saw that they did that were faulty. But at the end of the day, they were just people. If you can't be viewing your parents like you're still 5 years old and by golly, they were supposed to be perfect and I was supposed to get that perfect childhood. And the hallmarks of being an adult is when you can accept that your mom and daddy were just people just as screwed up as you. You're looking around at yourself and you realize how clueless you are. Your mom and daddy were just as clueless and they somehow got you raised. And that's something, you know, that's you're here now. And that's something of an accomplishment. You reel back in to what we're talking about. People in your life are coming at things with their own life experience, and you don't know what that experience is. You know? I mean, you can't know. You know, say, I don't know. Say your cousin, she's a first-rate hoe. That girl, she'd have sex with a snake if she could catch it. And you're just like, what is wrong with her? I remember when we were kids, she was just the sweetest thing. And now she's 20-something years old, and she a hoe. Why is she a hoe like that? Well, because you don't know that when she was 11, she was molested by her uncle. You don't know that. She ain't going to tell you that. You know, she's coming at it with her own life experience. Now, I'm not saying, like, you know, that's different. You know, but the point is that you're not going to know why. Because everybody has life experiences they ain't going to tell you about. Think about your own life experience. Are you going to go tell everybody your personal, every little thing that's ever happened to you in your life? Good, bad, in between? No, of course not. That's silly. Ain't nobody want to hear it. And ain't nobody got no business knowing about everything in your life. But when you understand this, you understand that nobody's going to agree with you 100% of the time. And everything. You run into people in life and like they have this attitude like everybody has got to agree with them on every little thing, 100%, every issue, every topic, doesn't matter what it is. They got to agree with me because I, by golly, am right. And most of the time you'll find out those same people have a really hard time with personal social relationships. Because they've got to be right. Well, that's not the way it works. Nobody's going to agree with you about every single thing. Because they're coming at it with their own life experience. They've experienced things you haven't. Good things, bad things, whatever. You know, people do things. They do the things they do because they have these different life experiences. It's that simple. And I'm going to tell you again, if you're one of these people that you think it's like your God-given mission to make everybody agree with every single thing the way you see it, you're not going to have successful relationships, whether those are romantic relationships, friendships, getting along with your coworker, whatever the case may be. If you think that, by golly, everybody has to agree with you on every single thing, no matter what, and if they don't, then it's your mission to convince them, you have a tough time. And you're going to deny, and it's sad because you're going to wind up denying yourself that which you want. You know, you want closer relationships with people. You want to form these bonds with people, and you wind up frustrating yourself, and you start thinking, well, there's something wrong with everybody else. But they're not. The problem is you. Everybody else is not having a problem with these interactions, with these relationships. It's you. The problem isn't everybody else. And the problem's by and large because you're trying to make everybody agree with you. And if they won't agree with you, then by golly, you're going to sit there and beat them over the head until they do. It's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. they might be polite at some point and just say, yeah, yeah, you're right. Just hoping you'll shut the hell up. And then they're going to, lo and behold, you're going to find out they actually distance themselves from you, don't want anything to do with you. So they don't want to hear it. They're going to convince everybody because they come from life. They come at topics, rather, with their own life experiences that you don't know about. Anyway, that was my life hack. When you understand this, it makes things easier. You're entitled to your views and your opinions and the way you view things, and that's good. But understand, not everybody's going to see it. And they probably do agree with you on mostly. I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of times, like I say, if you polled everybody in this audience on a topic, you would probably find, you know, more or less a consensus. But you're going to get this varying view to get to that. You see what I'm saying? You're going to get a varying opinion. At the end of the day, everybody pretty much agrees that, I don't know, A is bad and B is more or less good. But there is going to be a scale here of why people think that, how they view it, how they came to that conclusion, and so on and so forth. You got to accept that. You got to accept that. You don't have control over other people. And I tell you, if you can get to where, I got to get into the Christian specific segment. I'm starting to ramble. When you get to the point that you really, truly incorporate and understand the concept that you have control, you have absolute control over your own decisions, and that's it. You do not have control over what other people decide to do. You don't. When you really get to a point, when you really incorporate and understand that, it will sure enough make life much easier. Making life much easier. We're going to get into the Christian specific segment. We're going to keep on rocking. We're going to keep on rolling. Let's do this. You know what to do. Get in there. Fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon at the Parish of the Patriots. As many, hopefully all of you know by now, I've been taking up doing the Daily Nationalist on Fridays and Mondays as well. And it's been a big adjustment for me because I've had to, you know, I, of course, previously was just doing Daily Nationalist on Friday with Sven. And it was just, we had it down to such a science, you know, knowing how long an article was and with both of us talking, you know, whether or not we were going to have the more or less the properly allotted time filled up. Well, it's been a big adjustment for me because, you know, doing it solo, an article that was more than enough for two of us might come up a little short. And I've been working on that. And I've kind of, I think I'm getting it down. Y'all listening may disagree. Maybe like, no, you got a long way to go before you get anything down. But I think I'm getting it down. One of the things I've been doing is going into it with sometimes two articles, you know, and I'll have the one I really want to do. But that way, if I come up a little short, I go ahead and jump in and cover the second one. And that way I don't catch myself kind of just rambling, trying to fill the time. What does this have to do with the Christian specific segment? Well, I realized that sometimes I'm kind of like that in our Christian discussions here. I'll go in with something I really want to talk about. But as I go into it, I'm not really 100% sure, you know, how much time it's going to take. So this week I've kind of adopted the same strategy that I've been picking up here with the Daily Nationalist, and that I've got a couple things kind of here I thought we would potentially discuss. If we don't get to the second one, you know, there's always next week, but this way I might not, maybe it will cut down somewhat on the rambling. We're not holding our breath. Something we've talked about quite a bit here on the show. But it's been kind of a minute, and I wanted to get back to it on this week. And that is apparent contradictions in the Bible. And I've always said that if there's something in the Bible that seems contradictory, it just means you don't understand that. And I say that carefully because I don't want to come off as condescending. Because look, this thing's huge. There's so much in here. I'm going to live the rest of my life, you know, studying and trying to understand God, and I'm not even going to come close to grasping everything in here. So I don't understand it all either. I mean, it's quite possible y'all could write to me and be like, hey, can you explain what this means? And I'd be like, I don't know either. You know, I'm not arrogant. I'm going to tell you, I share what I've come to understand here in the hopes that maybe, you know, it saves y'all some steps, or maybe it's like, oh, I hadn't thought of it that way. I mean, it's that simple. believe me, I'm just as much a student and trying to understand and learn this stuff, same as y'all. I always think of this more as we're working through these ideas and these thoughts together. You know, that's always kind of been my approach to this. But I have really come to understand that there are no contradictions. And God does not contradict himself. So what appear to be contradictions, if we can't get it figured out and we can't work on it, I mean, eventually, perhaps we figure it out. But it just means we don't understand. There's nothing wrong with that. We just have to accept we don't understand it. But we have to frame it in our minds that way. Because otherwise, if you think, well, it's a contradiction, then we're essentially saying in our hearts that, you know, God isn't making any sense, or God's waffling around here or changing his mind. And trust me, he does not. Sometimes we've just got to have the faith to say, well, I just don't understand this. You know, I just simply don't understand. We shouldn't be prideful or arrogant about it. You know, if somebody comes up and says, yeah, well, what about this? Can you explain what this means? If you don't know, just say, no, I don't. There's a lot of things I don't know and I don't understand. You know, I mean, you're not obligated to try to BS your way through it because, I don't know, some non-believer that you happen to know says, yeah, well, I don't understand this part. Can you explain it? If you don't know, say, no, I can't. You know, and then if they're like, well, how can you believe in this if you don't understand it? Well, you know, do you believe physics exists? Well, yeah. Well, do you understand all of physics? No, I can assure you. I assure you they don't. It's no different. There's going to be things that we simply don't understand. And that's okay. You know, because it's one of the things that's great about it is because when you do come to understand these things, you know, it just makes it like, you know, I mean, it's just like, it's so rewarding when the light goes off and then you're like, I understand it now. You know, I get it now. I've spent much of my life on and off, you know, working on things, you know, fixing things mechanical. And one of the hardest parts is figuring out what's wrong with something. You know, if you're working on, say, an engine, if you're working on your car, one of the hardest parts is figuring out what the problem is. You know, after that, it basically always comes down to you unbolt enough stuff to get to the bad part, unbolt the bad part, bolt the new part on, and put it all back together correctly, hopefully, and then everything works. But when you're racking your brains trying to figure out why is this not working properly, and then there comes that moment when you find what it is, and you know you found it, and it's just like, yes, it's kind of like that. Anyway, I thought we'd go back to, you know, apparent contradictions in the Bible. And this is one that's like right here together. And this is from Jesus himself. And it's in the same book. So first we'll start with Matthew chapter 7 and look at verses 13 through 14. Jesus says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, before we even talk about that, let's jump forward. We stay in the book of Matthew, jump forward to chapter 11, and look at verses 28 through 30. This is Jesus continuing to speak, only a little further up here at another point in time. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, you can read these two verses, you're reading through the book of Matthew, and you can hit these two separate verses, and it can come off as a contradiction. On the one hand, he says, you know, the road to the kingdom of God is narrow, it's windy, you know, it's a straight gate. It's narrow. It's windy. There's all these obstacles and things are rough. It's a difficult road. Where the road to destruction, in other words, the road to hell, is broad, wide, easy, and a lot of people are going down it. Again, you have these people that have this idea, like they've just created this idea that hell doesn't even exist. Because how could God is love. And with God being love, how could anybody go to hell? Well, you know, but it says right here, a lot of people are going to hell. You can't. They try to twist and turn, and they try to impose their idea of morality onto the Lord. We're not going to get off into that, but not this week. Anyway, so he says that broad is the way to hell, but it's a narrow, difficult path to enter into the kingdom of God. But then we forward here to chapter 11, and what does he say? You know, my yoke is light, my burden is easy, and my yoke is light, for the condensed version. You know, you'll find rest in me. My yoke is light, my burden is easy. So which is it? Is it a winding, difficult road, or is it a light, easy burden? Now, I believe the MCC likes to really focus on the light and easy part. Everybody wants everything to be light and easy. And that's why you wind up with this nonsensical idea that all you have to do is say the words, you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and go about your life like you always have, never do anything different, and you're good to go. Go relish and wallow around in all the sin you want to. It's okay. Jesus is love. And you know, they focus on the easy part, and they discount the difficult and hard part, just like they try to act like there's no hell anymore, when Jesus specifically said right there that a whole lot of people are going to hell. Now, like understanding so many things in the Bible, I've really come to believe that so much is so much easier to understand when you grasp that there's no empty emotionalism in the Bible. And I know y'all probably tired of hearing me say it, but there is, everything in the Bible is related to action. You know, everything in the Bible, and when you understand that, that just empty words, that's nothing. The Bible isn't telling you to do a bunch of empty words. Everything is about faith. Show me, I will show you my faith in my deeds. You know, I mean, that is what we're commanded. Your faith is action. Now, when Jesus talks about it being a narrow, winding road, well, why? Because yes, we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but it has very little to do with just simply saying that. I mean, that's just the starting point. And again, the regular listeners, all of y'all regular listeners show, y'all know you've heard me say that umpteen times. But it is what it is. What's important is we're saved by faith, correct? We're saved by faith, not by our deeds. This is why, when you go and look at the context of the latter verse in chapter 11, you see, when you're trying to be saved by your own righteousness, by your own deeds, you're always going to be burdened because you're never going to meet the mark. You know, you're always going to come up short. That's just how we are. You might want to follow God all you want to, but you're always going to come up short. No matter how long you live, no matter how wise you become, no matter how much you learn about the Lord and get closer to Him and read the Bible and pray earnestly and do your best, up until the day you die, you're going to come up short. There is still going to be sin in your life. That's just how it is, because of the nature of our existence here in this realm of time. So if you're trying to get there by the merit of your own deeds, it's going to stress you out. I mean, you're going to be all stressed out. Because you know you're never going to make it. Plus, if you're trying to follow a bunch of rules, you're trying to keep up with what the rules are. If you're trying to adhere to all of the laws, not just the Ten Commandments, but all of the Old Testament biblical laws, and you're trying to remember each and every one, and for a hard time. But with Christ, the burden is light, because Jesus he boils things down to, look, the concept here is not that complicated. It's not. I've said before, we have these discussions, and I really love these discussions, but most of the time, by the time we sit down and I record this show, And we talk about these things, I'm ready. I'm anxious to discuss these things. And I always hope that, you know, people will listen to this and y'all come away. Some of y'all at least will come away and be like, wow, I really never thought of things that way. That's always, you know, like I said, I look forward to it. But the thing is, I don't ever really feel like, you know, I'm talking about anything that's really like earth shattering here, because really Jesus has made these concepts extremely simple. I'm not going to look up the verse right now, but when asked at one point in time to sum up the law and the prophets, You know, can you tell us the meaning of the law and the prophets? As Jesus said, love the Lord your God. And I'm doing this off the top of my head. I may not get it word for word right. But Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And love your neighbor as yourself. This sums up the law and the prophets. If you can sum up the entirety of the law and the prophets, I mean, so much of the Bible is made up of the law and the prophets. And Jesus says, you can sum it up right here. In other words, the concept is not that difficult. It really isn't. If you love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to be all right. By and large, you're going to be fine. Now, again, remember, love in this biblical sense means action. If you love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, that's going to be reflected in what you do. In other words, you are going to take actions that naturally demonstrate that. Not rule following. We're not talking about rule following and you're going to show God by all these rules you follow. It just means that because you love the Lord, you're seeking Him and you're trying to understand Him and you're reading your Bible. Not because you think by the act of reading your Bible, you're going to somehow get to heaven, like you're going to take a test on your biblical knowledge. It's just that you want to understand Him. And it's demonstrated in your actions. Likewise, if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, by faith we are saved. That faith is going to show up in how you act. If you're just living a sinful life like you always have, then your words are meaningless. There's nothing to show for it. Faith is demonstrated in your actions. And you love your neighbor as yourself. How do you treat yourself? Well, most people should, some people don't. Because sadly, in this twisted up world, some people do not love themselves, which is just mind-boggling to me. Well, how do you, assuming you're not one of these people that has got problems, and if you hate yourself, you need to work on that. Again, it's not empty emotionalism. So you treat yourself fairly. If you love yourself, you're going to treat yourself well. You know, you're going to sit around and cut yourself. You're not going to, well, let's see, if you're doing a business deal, you're not going to intentionally do the deal to where you cheat yourself. Nobody naturally does that, right? Okay, so you don't cheat yourself, you treat yourself fairly. Well, so, okay, if you love your neighbors yourself, what does that mean? Well, you don't cheat your neighbor and you treat them fairly. So many people get hung up on, we're told to love our enemies. And people say, well, I can't make myself feel an emotion of love for my enemy. That isn't what he's talking about. Just treat them fairly. You know, it's no great accomplishment to help somebody out that you like or as a family member. That's not a great accomplishment. But when you have the opportunity and you're like, you know, help somebody out that you don't necessarily particularly like, ding dong, you have loved your enemy. You've probably done that at some point in your life, and you didn't even realize. You might have been sitting around one of these people going, I don't get that whole part about love my enemy. This is one thing I struggle with, one thing I can't do. And yet, if you were to look back on your life, there's been times to where there were people you didn't even particularly like. But you, when you had the opportunity and you said, you know what? Yeah, I'll help this guy out, you know. Whatever you did at the time to help them out. Guess what? You loved your enemy. It has nothing to do with feeling an affectionate emotion towards somebody. You would have to lie to yourself to create an affectionate emotion that doesn't exist. It just simply means you help them out. You treat them fairly. See, it's not that hard. And that's why Jesus says, look, my burden is like this. These concepts are not that difficult. This really isn't that hard by faith. And you're going to seek these things out. The laws become easier the more we know Christ because the laws are written on our heart. In other words, we're just doing what we want to do anyway. You know, we're just doing what we want to do anyway, which is to be more like Jesus or get closer to Him. And guess what? If you went and looked at all the rules, you're pretty much following quite a few of them. And you didn't have to think about it. Now, what about earlier verses warning that, you know, look, it's a winding, tough road to get to the kingdom of God. Broad and easy is the way to hell. Well, this isn't a contradiction because you're in this world and you're trying to reach the kingdom of God. It is. It's hard. You're in constant conflict with the world. The world is not, by and large, the world, and by world in this context, I mean people. A lot of people aren't trying to do the right thing. If you just want to follow in with the group, if that's the easy way. You just roll along with the herd, take the easy way, and you're going to find hell at the end of that. When you're striving to do what is right, when you're doing this and when you're following the Lord by faith and actions, and you love the truth, it's going to be a tough road because there's not that many people on it. It's windy. It's tough. Everybody else is going off and doing all this other stuff. And you're trying to do this over here. You know what I'm saying? There's obstacles in your way, and you're going to be persecuted from this world, and you're trying to do it, and everybody else is thinking you're crazy because the popular thing is to do this over here. It's hard. It's hard. If you're a new believer, you've just come to the faith, you recently come to Jesus, congratulations, good on you. I don't want to discourage you, but this ain't easy. Because the further along you get, and God will bless you. You know, you've heard it said that he's not going to give you more than you can endure. And it does kind of seem to work that way. You know, that as you grow in your faith, I guess, how am I going to say it? As you grow in your faith and the closer to the Lord you become, the more in conflict with this world you will become. Now, that conflict is not always an external conflict. It's not always a conflict with other people around you. One of the most intense points of this conflict, and hear me now, one of the most intense flashpoints for this conflict is with yourself, with your own sinful nature. And that's one of the things that makes this hard, because you can't escape that. You know, there's no rest. You can't hide from that. No matter where you go, whether you're surrounded by people or whether you're by yourself, the conflict with your own sinful nature follows you. You can't get away from it. The conflict with this world, the conflict you're going to find yourself with this world, one of the main points of that is your own conflict with your sinful nature. And the more you grow spiritually and the more you grow in your faith and carrying out your faith and living your life and growing closer to the Lord, you start longing to, you know, to do more right things and to live a more upright life. And you start getting this idea of, man, I want my life to look like this. You know, I want to be this type of person before the Lord and whatnot. And as you grow in your faith, And you continue down the path, you're going to be more and more in conflict with the world. And sometimes that will manifest in your surroundings and people around you. And more often than not, the most intense part of that conflict is within yourself. It's with your own sinful nature. Don't get discouraged by this. Don't, when you're having that conflict, don't be sitting around, start questioning your faith. Be like, there must be something wrong with me. There must be something wrong with me because on the one hand, I really do want to learn more about it. I want to get closer to Jesus. I want to be better. I want to be a more godly person. And on the other hand, I also really want to do these sins, whatever those may be. Yeah. I've done these sins before all this, and they still are calling to me, and I still got a desire to do them. Don't get down on yourself. That's normal. That's the conflict. We always visualize our conflict with the world is external. We always have this vision, you know, as believers, like we're, and it sometimes is, don't get me wrong. And as we live in an ever blatant satanic society that demands submission, that you bow down to their lies, you know, the conflict, the external conflict with others, with the world, you know, is naturally becoming more of a thing. But you're going to do most of your conflict fighting. Most of your conflict with this world is actually within yourself. Again, don't get discouraged. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It means you're having the conflict. This is why it's a narrow road. This is why it's hard. Most people are not doing that. Look, we humble our heart as believers. So I'm just, you know, it's easier if somebody else pats you on the back because no one wants to pat themselves on them. Pat y'all on the back and say, look, this is what it's about. Most people aren't doing what you're doing. Where you might be sitting around going, I'm coming up so short. I'm just so sick of myself. I'm just not getting it right. Look, most people aren't even trying, okay? When you walk around out there in a group of people, you go to town and you're surrounded by all these people. Let me tell you with absolute certainty, the vast majority of those people aren't even putting the effort in. They're just going along whatever's easiest, whatever they're told is the end. They don't care. They're just on autopilot to hell. Hey, don't get down. Look, you're in conflict with the world. Jesus told us over and over, you're going to be in conflict with the world. The problem is we so often think that just means like with others or with the government or with whatever the case may be. And yet most of the time our conflict with the world is actually our conflict with our very own earthly, worldly, sinful desires. And that conflict, you can't escape from it. If you went out to the woods, you know, if you're in conflict with the people around you, you can go out to the woods or out to the desert and live like a hermit. And there you don't have to deal with them anymore. I sometimes really feel like doing that. I sometimes really feel like doing that, as I'm sure many of you do. And if you did that, if you were to do that, guess what? The conflict doesn't go away because you still have to deal with the conflict within yourself. It chases you everywhere. You can't get rid of it until you leave this world. And hallelujah, when you do leave this world, that's when you finally get shed of that last bit. The yoke is easy. My burden is light. You know, you finally, when we leave this world, we finally get rid of that last bit of conflict. Anyway, as you can see, there's another example, though, as we've shown here. I mean, those two verses read separately seem like Jesus is contradicting himself. But when we understand just a little bit of context and what's being said here, it all actually fits together and it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? It really does. We're going to go ahead and wrap up. I hope you, as always, like I said before, I've said several times here, I always hope y'all get something out of it. The fact that I repeat myself just shows that how important that is to me. I do hope you get something out of it. I hope you'll join me next week for the Parish of the Patriots. If you get a chance to check out, you know, I've said before, we're trying to keep new content up Monday through Friday here on the network. I'm doing the Daily Nationalist Monday. Of course, obviously, you're here for this show on Tuesday. Be sure to catch Dr. Johnson's works. It's great. I listen to it. Orthodox Nationalist on Wednesday. Dr. Johnson's doing the Daily Nationalist on Thursday. And, of course, I'm back on the Daily Nationalist on Friday. See, poof, good content Monday through Friday. Be sure and come back and check it out. And, of course, be sure and come back next week right here for the Parish of the Patriots.